Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys, and all four stupid guys are here. Matt's putting on his headphones. Mike has left the building. He hits Taco Tuesday for Mike and Russ. We have Russ is here, but he's got just a picture of himself he took, and we all think he looks like a serial killer. But how's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good.
Going good?
I was trying to put a thing on my picture where down at the bottom it said available.
Available for all the chicks that are looking for someone to date.
Available for all the Carol lookalikes.
Now, Russ, before we get started with the podcast, you watched The Talking Dead last week, and what was your comment? Because you're the one that actually tweeted it from our Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys Twitter account. And if you want to follow us, you can go on Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys, and we'll follow you back. No questions asked.
Unless you're Russ.
Unless it's me. I can't even remember what my Twitter account name is. So.
Well, nobody cares.
It's the Canadian Ref, I think. So.
The Canadian Something Ref?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the spelled out or if you put Canadian Ref A. I don't know.
No, I think it is the Canadian Ref.
Take off, hoser. Take off, eh?
So anyway, you watched the Talking Dead last week, right?
I did, and she was a guest on Carol was a guest on there actually, and I was kind of like, you know, going from my sofa to the kitchen, and I kind of glanced at the screen, and I took two steps and I stopped and I turned and I was like, holy cow, that's Carol! I was like, oh my god, she's actually like hot, and I couldn't believe it. And then when I saw Jack at work, I was like, you know, if they made her out to look like that on the show, like, she was smoking. Like,
Welcome
really,
to
really.
The Back in Time podcast with three stupid chauvinist guys.
Hey, don't let me in that boat, eh? We might be in the same boat, but I'm not in this boat.
I think we told you last week that she was attractive.
Yeah, you know, the way she looks like she's not from the Midwest, so that's a good thing.
Okay.
All right. So we've just insulted the Midwest 2 weeks in a row. I don't know, our listenership is going down. But if you like being insulted on a podcast, you can join all our podcasts. You can go to Patreon.com/Jay and Jack and help us out there. But you can go the whole enchilada feed and be insulted by several podcasts, Game of Thrones, Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys, which is coming back, special edition after this one. The Walking Dead, The Survivor with Jay and Jack and Colleen, The Amazing Race with Jack and Cindy. The Downton Abbey podcast finale was last week, so it's overdone, but still out there if you want to listen to it. And Leftovers, the Binge Watch podcast. This week we're going to be talking about House of Cards. You guys watch this season of House of Cards?
I have not.
That's my next show.
Have you watched any seasons before that?
No.
I have.
You have, Matt? A spoiler alert, this might have been my favorite season.
Oh, I already took out my earbuds.
Okay, I just said it might be my favorite season. I'm not really spoiling.
Okay, anything. Well, that might make me come back because, you know, I kind of stopped at the end of season three. It was getting a little...
Season three was a little slow. But
that
this last season,
quarter of season three, I just was like...
Yeah, they brought their A game for this. But anyway, you can go there and like I said, watch it all, listen to it all, do whatever you want. But anyway, we're going to start talking about The Walking Dead. And the title of this episode was The Same Boat.
The Same Boat as Russ.
Yeah. And if you're watching us live, you can actually watch the episode as we're recording. But I'm a little ahead of myself, so we're a little behind the episode right now.
But you can always tune in, too, and check out our live YouTube feed if you want. Rate and review us on iTunes. Do what you like.
I want people to judge right now, is Russ a serial killer or not from this picture?
If he put available with a phone number, do you expect him to cut your lawn or more?
Your lawn or your throat?
Vote for me for city council.
I'll cut your lawn for you.
You betcha. Hey.
Actually, the look should be like, how many burgers in my pockets?
That would work too.
That's actually, I think that's actually going to bring the women in, Russ.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm working on it.
Anyway, so we start off with Carol and Maggie in the woods, and Carol shoots Donnie, but she doesn't kill him. She shoots him in the shoulder, and then Maggie goes, "We got to finish him off." And then someone comes out and says, "You better drop your gun." Any thoughts on Carol not being the Rambo she has in the past and not doing the headshot? And at this point, are we?
Oh, you mean the fact that she just winged the guy? Well, I mean, we saw her last week where she was like writing down the names of the people.
Right.
It seems uncharacteristic that she would just wing the guy. But
as the episode goes on, we understand. But at this point, we're like going, "How'd she not kill the guy?"
You know what?
Right.
I when that scene happened, my first thought was from a scene from do you guys ever see the movie Kindergarten Cop?
It's Alan Tuma.
With Arnold.
Men have a penis, girls have vaginas.
There was a part in there when he took over the kindergarten class and he was going, "You're all soft. You're soft." And that was going through my head. I was like, "Oh my God, she's getting soft too."
Huh. I didn't think really that much about it because it was all kind of picking up where we left off, and I just was like, okay.
At that point, I think if all the people you want to be, if you want to be on your side, out in the, if you just had one other person to pick, wouldn't it have been Carol at this point? Because she's such a badass. I mean, she was like Rambo. She's just a person. I mean, Rick is kind of crazy.
I guess I'd pick Rick or Daryl over her, but
really?
That's just me. I'm not being a chauvinist. I mean, I like Carol.
You're from the Midwest.
I like, you know, I've always liked Daryl's haircut, you know, it's real style in there.
Yeah.
So
I'm jealous of it. I'm not going to lie. But anyway, so we go back to the scene of last week where Daryl tackles, and his name is Primo, and they tackle him, and then we have Paula is on the walkie-talkie. So any thoughts about this scene going on here, Mike?
Started off great. It was cool to see it from the different perspective. Almost had like a Lost type feel where you like see everything.
Right.
Oh yeah, it did kind of remind me of that too.
From the Savior's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Then Carol puts on the. They put Carol on the walkie-talkie and she sounds scared. So at this point, I'm saying, is she just acting scared? Is she just pretending to be scared? Anybody else?
I thought she was just trying to figure out something to say. Like, I thought she was trying to give Rick a clue or a code, and then she just didn't have enough time.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking that she was trying to think of something to say that would, you know, kind of give him a, you know, idea of what was going on.
Yeah, like, there's only four of them, you know, like, just something, you know, something to shout out.
And then was Primo a doctor or some kind of medical background? Because Donnie seemed to want Primo back so he could take care of his shoulder.
I think he grew the weed.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah.
And then Primo does sound like a character from Breaking Bad or something.
Yeah. It does.
The actor is in Breaking Bad, isn't he? Well, he's in Better Call Saul, right?
Not sure.
All right. I didn't look.
I don't have the IMDb up for this episode.
But you know the character Michelle, who I thought was a Maggie lookalike.
Right.
She'd always her point of this whole episode was to make sure she had the gun on Carol and Maggie. If you look at her every scene, she's standing up and she has the gun pointed at like they're gonna jump up and grab her at any time. And
she has one job to do.
That was what it was. They cover Maggie and Carol's head, and they walk through the woods, and giving them. All we're seeing is the bottom. You know, we're seeing the look from Maggie and Carol's look, where they're looking down the ground, and then they eventually get in a car and drive away, thinking, "Okay, this isn't going to turn out well for." I'm also thinking too. I go, "All right, now this is where they're going to drag it out. This is where they're going to drag it out for a couple weeks, and we're going to find out what's going on." I still have that fear that The Walking Dead is going to get to a point where they drag something out. Anybody else?
Fear of the Walking Dead is another show. We're watching The Walking Dead.
I don't... Russ?
Yes?
Fear of... fear of them dragging this out? Did you feel like this was a drag out episode? Or
no, I'm to this point.
To this point. Okay.
I think, oh great, they're gonna drive them away, and nothing's gonna be resolved, and this is gonna be cliffhanger for a couple weeks. What's going on? And there's only three episodes left after this. Is this gonna be where we don't know what's happened to Maggie? We don't know what's happened to Carol. That was my fear when I saw him
going through.
Again, I'm still thinking past couple seasons where they tended to drag things out.
Alexandria,
I didn't think that too much, because I think the previews last week showed them actually inside the place. So I wasn't too, you know, I was just like, you know, kind of hurry up, you know.
Okay, all right, I'll take that. Paula is talking to someone on the radio. And then Molly, they get to the safe house, and Molly doesn't like the safe house. Doesn't like it.
Yeah, not much of a safe house. I don't like it. I don't like it. Can't smoke indoors. It's crazy.
She was one of the extras from Leftovers, right? Season one?
Yeah, she must have been. The guilty remnant. Let's see. And then Michelle, she drags the walker out, and the walker had a rosary, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, this was, yeah.
A very important
scene. This was pretty keen of her to grab this with her feet.
And then as they're going out, they got to go kill the other walkers and make some room, and Paula says to Maggie and Carol, don't move, stay where you are, because she taped them all up. She goes,
give me a reason.
It's all I can do. It's all I can do to keep from killing both of you. So pretty much Paula right now is a scary person, right?
She was kind of, you know,
a badass.
I think she was trying to assess, but you know what? Like, the crazy thing is the way she was being the whole time, I kept going like, oh my god, like she's got nothing on the rest of the people from, you know, Alexandria. I'm like, she's in so much trouble. Like I just figured she wasn't going to last very long. That's all I was thinking.
And then Carol puts the rosary in her pocket, and then when we come back, Carol starts to hyperventilate. Was this real or was it fake? At this point, I'm still thinking Carol's just, she's pretending that she's trying to show that she's weak. She's trying to show that she's not Rambo, to maybe get them off guard, keep their guard down, not to make them think that she's badass.
But I thought she was like pretending, going to her acting role like she's been doing since like Alexandria. But I don't know. Did you think they have like cameras in that room or something? Like they're monitoring from outside.
Yeah, but I think she really was hyperventilating. I think she was having a panic attack.
She's the Daniel Day-Lewis of Walking Dead. She fits the role.
Well, she is at that. I thought she was faking it immediately. I don't know. That was just me. I just thought she was trying to get their attention, trying to buy any time that she could, really. I thought
because she knew that Daryl and Rick would be on the trail and coming to save them, right?
I don't know. I don't know if you could really say that she was waiting for the guys to save them. I mean, this is a very, as one of the listeners in the JJack Facebook group pointed out, it's a very female episode, chick heavy.
Yeah, and I agree, and I actually wrote that down. I said this was a female heavy episode, and I thought it was well done.
You know, the one thing that I was thinking about is I thought that Carol, in a way, was trying to portray herself as like the weaker of the two, just in case something did happen, that they wouldn't go after, you know,
Maggie,
that they would go after her first. And
it's like Survivor. She wouldn't get voted out first.
Right. You know,
she said something about, you know, we're only going to take one, wouldn't you take the weaker person, not the stronger person? Who's going to give you the least amount of headaches, the weaker person or the stronger person?
Yeah, but, like, if you're going to kill somebody, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if you're going to put a bullet through someone's head, you know, you would probably eliminate the person that you feel is the strongest, but
yeah, which would
if you've got if you've got Maggie. Someone that's being a total pain in the butt and, you know, just like, you know, hyperventilating and making sounds and stuff like that, but, like they probably wouldn't.
But the first thing that she says, the first thing she says when she gets the gag off is she makes a comment about Maggie being pregnant.
Yeah, she says, because they return back, Paula tells Carol to just shut up because they're working. She's working on Donnie. Maggie, that gets attention. Molly takes the gag off, and she goes, and even at that point, Molly's like going, "Man, you're just a weak bird."
Right, like, and that, and you know, by telling them that Maggie's pregnant, they're probably less likely to kill her because
exactly. You know, that's why I think that was her whole intention. I think she was just starting with you know, like, okay, if I can draw attention to the fact that they should save Maggie, kill me, then it's just a matter of me trying to save my life and maybe Maggie's at the same time. I think she was trying to play any angle she could.
But at this point, you
watch... But first, she was trying to save Maggie.
Yeah, but if
you watch... Because immediately she gets the gag off.
Before she says Carol's... Carol says Maggie's pregnant, you know, they point out that she's Carol's weak, and they're looking at... And Maggie's just looking at... She had this look at Carol like she was confused. What are you doing? Like, this is not the Carol I've known the last year or so. This is not Rambo right. Carol. This is the first Carol. This is Carol that was weak. This is Carol that I didn't know. This is Carol that was in the first season that was, you know, was
and Maggie wouldn't have been around to see that. Yeah.
But
that
she was just shocked how Carol was acting. That's the look I got from the actress that was playing Maggie. Her look. I just was stunned. So Carol doesn't Carol says
don't hurt Brian.
Yeah, Carol says, "Don't hurt Maggie, don't hurt the baby." So now we find out that she's pregnant. Donnie goes, "She doesn't look pregnant to me." Well, I'm only 2 months pregnant. At this point, Donnie's just like, it's a whole scene with women. They need to get rid of Donnie at this point.
he is the odd man out.
And I do like that they portrayed him as being weak. That the women were strong, because even Paula makes a reference later on. You know, men can't handle pain.
Right.
So I thought that was
nice callback to being to pregnancy too.
Right.
So something that none of us will ever know. Correct.
Yeah. Russ, do you know you understand it, Russ?
I do.
Yeah, because I remember when
there's still time for Mike to be the first man pregnant, but
you can do that, Mike.
You're still young.
Who knows what'll happen at South by Southwest? Who knows what technology innovations have happened over there?
Yeah,
you know it could even happen at a concert.
And I thought it was a great scene between Paula and Maggie. Maggie's like going, Paula's like going, "Really? You're stupid enough to get yourself pregnant?" And right. Maggie's like going, they're going back and forth, and Paula says, "Well, the point is to stay standing. And Maggie goes, "No, walkers do that. You're no better than a walker. The point is to survive and to keep going and all that stuff like that." And then all of a sudden, Molly starts smoking, and Carol's like going, "Do you have to smoke by the baby?"
I did have to kind of laugh at like how ridiculous that is because of the circumstances that they are in. But
I think Molly's reaction, "Really, this is what you're worried about? A cigarette? You're not surviving this anyway."
Again, I thought Carol was trying to drag it out, trying to drag them out, you know, talk to them more, get them stalling. So that
I thought she was trying to distract them as much as she could.
But I do like the fact that if you look back at this scene, Michelle is doing her job, keeping her gun on Maggie and Carol. Just she's literally in this position the whole time.
Yeah. I took note of that exact same thing, Jack. Watching that scene.
They were taped up. Hands. Well,
did you guys watch The Talking Dead?
I did not watch Talking Dead yet, no.
There was a little like fact or whatever saying that actress was like, freaked out by the walkers, and so she had to go up to each and every one of them and introduce themselves and like learn their names so she would remember that they're humans, they're not walkers.
She accidentally fires off a couple blanks. Just accidentally. "I'm sorry, I thought you were real."
And then poor Donnie is suffering again because, you know, men, we can't handle pain. And Maggie tells him, tells Paul he only has like 30 minutes. His alarm's going to go, nerve damage is going to go through. He's going to lose his arm. He's going to die. And I don't think Paula really cared. Right?
Right.
Say your line, Jack.
What? He dies. And that's when Donnie he's getting mad. He's all mad at Carol because Carol shot him in the arm. And why did she get her? We should shoot her. And Paula goes, no. And Donnie goes, well, shoot her in the arm. No. And then Donnie gets up, and then Donnie smacks starts Paula.
Paula, and then Maggie attacks.
And
right?
Maggie attacks him, and then he starts fight with Maggie. He says, oh, don't punch her in the stomach. Don't punch her in the stomach. And then Maggie headbutts him. And then Carol gets into them, but then he kicked Carol a couple times, and then Paula came and smacked her in the back of the head with a gun, and down goes Donnie. That's the last we hear from Donnie.
Pretty much.
It's the old thing where every TV show, if you just hit somebody once in the back of the head, it knocks them out.
Unless you're the Terminator.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hit.
I kept waiting for them to bring that up in shop class, right? Like, this is something they teach all boys in shop class, and women too. Yeah. You know, it's important. It's important to know how to use a gun to just knock someone out. There's a little spot.
And then I thought it was.
You skipped over Paula's line after that. She's like, "He's just a warm body in my bed.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal.
Yeah, he's losing his arm anyway. He's not going to be as attractive, right? Am I right? So then I thought this was a weird. Go ahead.
Oh, did you recognize, you know, where you've seen the actress that plays Paula before? Okay. Well, what did you say, Mike?
She's been everywhere.
Yeah, she's a lot of shows, but Justified was one that stuck out with me.
Friday Night Lights.
I was just curious if Jack had recognized. Was she on Friday Night Lights? Oh, yeah, she was. She played Cheryl. But she was recently on a couple episodes of Nashville, apparently, too, so...
Yeah, I've seen her a lot of shows, but first thought was Justified. Let's see. Then I thought it was a weird scene. Paula tells Michelle to take Maggie and question her.
You thought that was weird?
I just thought it was weird because I thought it was more about humanizing them, you know, having them have something in common. You know, they had similar lives and stuff like that. We'll get to more of it when we get there.
And then I thought at least the comment that she makes when she says that something we should have done at the very beginning anyway, it's like, yeah, you separate out the two people and get their stories,
right?
And then you compare them. And it's like, yeah, that's what you would have done, like in any, you know,
any
I don't know. I've never been trapped in a Lostian episode where I have to be tortured for information. But
yeah, luckily for me, I've never been kidnapped, so I don't know.
it seems like... Things got sped up by when there was a fight. All right, let's get this interrogation going before there's another fight.
But then Carol thanks Paula, thanks for helping me out. I was my husband Ed used to beat me, and that's when she stops and, you know, I don't really care about your story. And again, I'm thinking this is more just Carol showing how she's weak and because they're buying into it. But at the end, I'm still not convinced that wasn't what I don't think that was Carol's plan. I think she was trying to. Reason with him. I think Morgan had gotten in her head, and I think she's tired of killing people, and I think she's trying to change her life.
I think it's a little bit of both, but I think they're at the point now where they can, you know, tell when they run into a group if this group is like strong or not strong. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I think they can sense that, and you know, I think she was just playing them all.
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say it might be a little bit of both. But anyway, Paula says she's pathetic. Carol tells Paula they're talking about the faith, and she said, "Well, faith, you know, I helped me get through my death of my daughter." And I don't remember Carol Everett was faith. I don't remember. I just don't remember her praying or something like that.
That's where I felt like it was the yes, like she is completely using this as a, you know, as a way of getting at them. So, but
I mean, anybody remember Carol praying or anything like that?
I can't ever remember her doing that on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Maggie and Michelle seem to be bonding. We find out that Michelle was once pregnant. She lost the tip of her finger because she stole gas to go see a boyfriend that was kind of a jerk anyway. I think she said the word dick.
Yeah.
She wanted to go find his body, but it was just... She didn't really even seem to care about him. But...
Anyway. Was, I guess it's pretty much assumed that he was in the group that Daryl named.
Oh, you're probably right, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, good point, Russ. Wow, that's why we keep you. Carol tells them...
Cheeseburger for me.
Carol tells them why they had to kill their people, and I thought Paul was pretty... You know, well, that's fair enough. You had to defend yourself, but you didn't need to attack us. There was no reason to attack us. Agree, disagree. Mike?
But she had a good response. We heard Negan was a maniac. Or Negan sounded like a maniac.
Yeah. And then what did Molly say? Right. We're all Negan.
My cancer lung is even Negan.
Yeah. And then Carol asked for a cigarette, which I thought, how's she going to smoke this cigarette? Her hands are tied, but she figured out a way. Because she's Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part where we have an audible. And Matt, you're the quarterback now. Go.
I'm sorry. Like, my whole screen like froze up there, so I didn't hear anything.
No, I don't hear Jack at all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we're putting in Brock Osweiler here.
So.
Oh. So Jack just froze up on us?
He just retired. He's had too many hits in the NFL. CTE.
I think Jack just got hit in the back of the head.
So we use
with a gun.
We can stall until he comes back, or we can keep going without him.
I just don't remember what we were talking about. Like, I didn't remember where Jack was at in the whole thing, because it all of a sudden froze up, and then the next thing I heard was you.
He was mesmerized by his amazing recap.
He's really going beat by beat. Go ahead, Russ.
I think we were talking about, I don't know where he was going with that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Nobody knew where Jack was going with it. I mean, he's so structured with these recaps now. I'm glad that he writes them, but, you know, he's just like, hey, no time for idle chit-chat, you know.
Jack just texted and he said, not sure what to do, so is there any way we can invite him back?
Yeah, I say we just try to finish this episode in the next 10 minutes, and then we'll be ready to go for sports talk.
His computer is frozen, so.
All right, so how many minutes are we in this so we can tell Colleen to cut this out?
We can always try that. So we'll see if Jack can come back on here.
I say it's about the 40-minute mark.
I have no
Well,
idea.
Let's just keep going. So we're at the point where
is she interrogating? Wasn't there a scene where like there was the interrogation scene that never really seemed like an interrogation?
She had told her that she used to be pregnant, and you know her finger got cut off. And I said that you know I think her boyfriend was the guy in the group that Daryl napalmed. And that's where we're kind of going from there.
Okay. I just thought the whole interrogation scene, like the way that it ended, I was like, what is she going to do? Like, how do you threaten a pregnant woman, right?
Like, right. Well, I think she was just wanting to know where they were staying. Group was. And, you know, she's not going to give it up. So.
Yeah. It just seemed like they were kind of at a stalemate because the other woman didn't seem like she was wanting to. Like torture or anything like that, you know.
I'm back. I had to reboot my computer. Just completely froze. I couldn't do anything. It just froze.
Well, we're on to the previews for next week. If you want to talk about the previews for next week.
Okay. So where do we stop at?
We stopped at. We just basically talked about that interrogation scene, and that was kind of it.
Okay. So that's where we left off.
Yeah. We kind of just briefly talked about that, but I don't know what happens after that interrogation thing. Like. I know there's a commercial break, and then it comes back.
Talk about are we pregnant?
God damn it. Right, and then the whole Frank thing, tattoo.
King Joffrey, Midwest people, I don't know. I'm lost.
I just don't remember when it comes back after the whole, fake interrogation.
We're talking about, Tyrion coming back and,
Okay, stop. These are spoilers.
Didn't you hear Ian McShane's quote about...
I saw he did something, but I didn't read it.
Oh.
Is he going to be on Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Cox.
Yeah, and apparently he doesn't really care about spoilers. He said that it's just dragons and...
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so okay. we have to let Colleen know how far into it that...
It's around the 40-minute mark.
Around 40-minute mark?
Sure, yeah. I'll watch it tomorrow, and I'll tell her where to... Yeah.
Okay, so jump back in. So Paula kills... you ready to go again?
Yeah, let's do it.
Paula again calls Carol weak, then Paula tells her backstory. She was a secretary and with a husband and four girls, and Paula says how she killed her boss. It was her first kill. She stopped caring once she reached double digits. So now she can just kill without thinking about it. But as we find out, Carol is the 18 is the people she's killed, and it's starting to affect her.
Yeah.
I mean, Paula's, Carol's killed, look at the flowers, did this, she's killed 18 people, and now it's starting to affect her. Now it's like they're going different directions. Agree, disagree?
Yeah, I really liked this scene. I thought this was kind of like, having these two women and the past that they've chosen and discussing that, I don't know, it was great. So I like that it also kind of led up to what is kind of like at the heart of this episode. So
right.
Love it or hate it, I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there that just found this episode a little slower and maybe boring that just focused on this dynamic of these two characters. But
Matt, what am I allowed to think about this episode this week? Can I like it or can I hate it?
I never said that you had to like last week's episode. You were just kind of already like, I don't like this episode because I have to watch it.
That kind of seemed like you had a little J in you right there.
I didn't say there was any lazy writing or anything, but
No. You didn't say that. But you did have that attitude, I don't want to watch it. And I'll be honest, I've been there sometimes, ugh, I don't want to have to watch this episode.
You were very J fringe season.
I know, last week I definitely want to take a nap or go to sleep.
So we have Carol tells Paula she will die if you don't work this out. Paula asks, are you going to kill me? And Carol says, I hope not. So this is where Paula, at this point I'm thinking Paula's not, she's so into this Carol's weak, she's not thinking, okay, maybe there's more to this girl than I think. Anybody? Mike, Russ?
A little bit.
Maybe a tad.
Well, if someone says, I hope not, would you think, okay, this girl could possibly kill me?
Well, I mean, I would be more worried if she had have answered that, I will. You know, because we've seen that before in this where, someone says, I'm going to be the one that's going to kill you kind of thing, and it's like, okay, well, I got to worry about them.
All right. Rick talks to Paula on the radio. Carol tells Rick is a man of his word. You can trust him. He's a man of his word. And then I think Paula realizes there was no static. They're probably close by. They're probably already here. We need to set the room up. So her and Molly go to set the room up to make sure that it's safe for them and all that stuff. Carol becomes Rambo Carol again. She takes out the cross and is able to sharpen it and cut the tape off, and then she goes searching for Maggie, and she finds Maggie, who is already trying to take the tape off. Now, did they go to Michelle and say, okay, leave Maggie alone?
But at that point, there was only three of those women trying to defend the safe compound, so they needed all hands on deck to try to kill the walkers.
But did we see it? We're just assuming that they told her?
I think Michelle had to take a bathroom break because she just kind of disappears from the action for a little bit. It's like, where was she? And then all of a sudden she kind of appears. If we follow the logistics of the people, what they were doing.
And this is where I finally realized that Carol wasn't faking it, that she had changed because she says she wanted to leave. And Maggie says, "No, we can't. We can't leave them alive. We have to kill them."
Yeah, that's where I was like, "Wow, Maggie!" Right? Like, yeah, I didn't expect her to be like that. That
She's in Rick mode this, but
she Carol, is kind of Rick 2.0.
Carol in the past was that Carol wouldn't even hesitate. We got to kill these. We need to survive. We need to kill them.
So she did have that cigarette, so she was feeling pretty mellow.
Yeah. they set a trap because you got Walker Donnie, and he bites Molly, which I thought was a great scene. And Molly's
they let that trap for him too. That was pretty awesome. Yeah,
that was pretty cool. Then Maggie finishes her off several times.
Ooh,
where was the anger from Maggie at Molly? Was it she was smoking a cigarette so close to her? I mean, she literally smashed her head until it was like spraying on the screen.
I really didn't know what that was all about, to be honest with you. I was like, okay, what is she so frustrated about?
Was it maybe a pregnancy thing, or just I didn't see anything where Molly. I mean, she died. But
I think it just showed how cutthroat and ruthless Maggie was, because it was like, as soon as Maggie had, I mean, we even saw Maggie, like, as soon as, like, what's her name, Paula had left the room, she was the first one to start, like, trying to take off her binds, whereas right. Carol was a little bit more slow on the uptick. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just seeing that Maggie is, like, she is more ruthless in this moment. She is like, we're going to kill him, we're not going to leave him. And I'm going to stomp this lady's head off. I'm going to kill this guy and take off his... Like, she is. She does. And you haven't even gotten to, the last moment where we just see really how far. I mean, she pulls a mama bear. Like, the most ultimate mama bear moment, right?
Yeah.
I think Maggie's just in a different frame of mind now, because she's... You know, if you remember in the first half of the season, you know, she went without... Glenn for so long, and you know, again, now she's separated from him and she's carrying a baby, and I think she's just like in that mode of like, you know, gotta get back to Glenn, because you know, you saw them hug when it happened, you know,
I gotta get back to Glenn, so I'm gonna smash Molly's head until it's a pancake.
Right.
Hey,
maybe she just had like a forehead like Peyton Manning's, and she couldn't figure out where the brain was. You know, it was just that big.
It does get slippery once you start getting some of that blood on your shoes too. That's true.
Didn't think about that. Yeah. Then Paula comes in. She's not happy, and then we find out they going through, and they got these walkers are all trapped. They got like spears in them. It's a trap to keep them.
It's a trap.
And then Paula shoots at Carol. And they hold the gun. She's holding the gun. And Carol tells Paula to run. Just run. And that's where I said, okay, she wasn't acting. She doesn't want to kill anymore.
Yeah. Maybe she was trying Morgan's way. Maybe you're right. I mean, I kind of went into this episode like it was just clear cut. Like, you know, Carol's just a mastermind. But maybe you're right. Maybe there's a little bit of Morgan's philosophy that's rubbed off on her.
Again, I thought the same thing, but as the episode went along, I said, okay, she wasn't acting. She doesn't want... It goes back to where she's kissing... what's the guy's name, Mike? You're good at names.
Yeah, I know. The guy who's probably still alive. Hashtag not Carl.
The guy that, like, beat walnut cookies, or beat... whatever they are, cookies.
The guy should kiss.
Logan. No, it's not Logan. What is that kiss? It's not.
We'll just move on. We're three super guys here.
I went to Mike, who's the best at names, and Mike left me hanging. Thanks, Mike.
I don't know, but he kind of has that glare look that Eli Manning has, so we'll call him Eli for now.
Eli, okay. So maybe she just wants to have a better life. She keeps telling her to run. And then I thought, this is where I thought Carol was going to die. One of the walkers gets loose and like hits Carol, and then Carol shoots her in the shoulder. I think Carol's got a thing for shooting people in the shoulder in this episode. And then we see, and then Carol's laying down there as they go through. Maggie and Michelle are fighting. And then But then Michelle cuts her right in the shirt where her, you know. I said, yeah. Oh, no, the baby. Gotta save the right? baby. And then Carol comes in without hesitation because she's saving Maggie and just blows Michelle away. So we got Carol's back now.
Yeah. Right? That was both cool and cold at the same time. Yeah, you know, like seeing that go down.
But
yeah,
she saw what happened to Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole episode was she was like I think you guys said earlier, she was trying to protect Maggie. And you don't
she wants to be
Maggie.
The godmother.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's
gonna make the best cookies for the baby?
Yeah.
Come over to Grandma Carol's house.
So no cursing on this podcast, but we're discussing a show where a girl gets shot in the head, a woman gets stabbed in the head like 10, 15 times by Maggie, and then we even had an a-hole drop by Daryl, I think.
Well, I said dick.
There you go.
So there, it's kind of there. Does that make you feel better, Mike?
There you go.
You want a little swearing there?
I
want to be an explicit podcast. No bleeping it out by...
I thought you were just sending out a friendly hello to John Clayton.
Yeah, when you say that, you are talking about. So then we come back, and Paula's there, and she says to Carol, "Oh, you're good." So now I think she believes that Carol was just putting on an act.
Yeah, she was doing her golf clap.
Yeah.
In the episode.
And then of course Paula gets up. Carol's like saying, "I told you to run." So Carol makes the big rookie mistake. She made the mistake she would have made season one or even season two. She gets too close to Paula. Paula turns her head and then hits the gun and they're starting to fight. I go, all right, this is where Carol's going to die. Because who's the one that predicted Carol was going to die?
Who knows? But I think Carol was talking about the Seattle versus Super Bowl. She was saying, I told you to run, not to throw it. 2 yards, that's all you needed.
Beast mode.
I think I was saying Carol, because, you know, last week was, it seemed like a Carol-centric episode, although right. this one was even more so. So I do like the Carol arc. I thought, as far as her character, it's been pretty strong. Like,
it has, and, you know, starting to get likable, and you know what happens every time that happens.
Every time we start liking stuff, well, we've liked Carol for a long time. I mean, you liked her.
Well, Russ didn't get to see her in different makeup, so.
No, I started liking Carol. I started liking Carol Sunday night.
Sunday night, I bet you did.
Yeah.
Then Paula, they Paula gets shish kebabbed, and one of her grosser scenes, she gets the walker. She's trapped with a walker, and the walker starts eating her face.
I love how like they play so fast and loose with how quick people turn on in the show. Like Paula turned like instantly. The smoking woman turned instantly, and meanwhile the Alexander we had the mayor took like 2 weeks to turn.
Well, it could be the better.
Sure.
It took Donnie a while to turn that, too.
I will say that there is a precedent for it in the comic book where as the thing goes on the turning or the speed at which they like turn goes faster. I don't know if it's like an actual legitimate thing, but it happened in the comic book. It was something of note where they were like, hey, you know, why all of a sudden like are these zombies like turning? Like, is it something with the virus?
Except for the mayor of Alexandria who was able to take care of the baby Judith, go up there, be in the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shoot some walkers before she went out.
Well, that was an infection, which has always had different like category as opposed to like being actually dead and then turning.
But maybe to Mike's point, we don't swear on this podcast, but you can watch a show where someone gets their face eaten, and she's screaming.
That was just
Jell-O. She's screaming as she's getting her face eaten, which was kind of a graphic scene. Carol pretends to be someone calls on the radio. She pretends to be Paula. On the radio says, "Meet us at the kill floor." Which, if I'm going to meet someone,
someone says, I'll meet you guys at cafeteria, hamburgers.
Can we meet somewhere, like Mike, can we, cafeteria, anything, but let me meet at the kill floor? The hell's the kill floor? They set a trap for the rest of the saviors. Carol lights a cigarette. I'm like going, what is she lighting a cigarette for? That's going to be, but the room was full of, but here's, I'm going to throw the challenge flag. When they started to shut the door, it made a lot of noise. Not one of them turned around to look.
Oh, right.
At least turn around.
Yeah, we're about to see it here pretty soon. But as far as Jack's
Well, Molly's still alive here, so she's...
Oh, Molly's still alive. Okay. Well, we might not make it to the end. But when she said we're in the kill floor, I thought she said kiln. Me having my artist background, I just thought they said kiln floor. Because why would there be a kill floor, right? So anyway, yeah. K-I-L-N. Kiln.
She didn't like say like a cheesy like Arnold Schwarzenegger line when she threw the cigarette, like smoking kills.
That would have been good, right?
Here goes Maggie. One, two, three, four, five, six. She hit her seven times. It's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
Carol looks pretty shaken up by it. But you think the kill floor was something that the Saviors put where they went to go kill people?
I thought it was a slaughterhouse, like the safety house that they found was just like some kind of like,
okay,
you know how it is. They're about a dime a dozen.
You're probably right, but I thought mine was pretty cool. I thought mine would be cooler. Thanks, Matt.
It could be a tanning salon.
No, thanks, Matt, for spoiling it for me. They set the trap. She throws a cigarette in there. She shuts the door. Burns them alive. Maggie and her, she kills Walker Patty, or Paula. Just stabs her in the head. I like to your point, how fast she turned into a walker. Eugene hugs Maggie. Daryl hugs Carol.
Yep.
I thought that was a good scene. Rick tells Primo, your friends are dead. It's time to talk. And Primo says, I'm Negan. And Rick goes, okay, and shoots him in the head. And Carol has her lacrosse in her hand. And she's squeezing it so tight, she's bleeding. But I did like how Maggie said, finally, she said, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Which I have been saying for a couple episodes, hey, you're pregnant, stay home.
Yeah.
So if they should have been listening to some, maybe they were listening to this podcast, said, yeah, you know, they're right, we can't have Maggie who's pregnant.
Gotta keep the chicks at home.
Yeah. Well, at least the pregnant ones.
Well, I will say that there is a thing that if, you know, a pregnant woman feels like she's in any type of, like, a life or death situation for a pregnant woman could terminate a pregnancy.
Right. Just,
I'm not saying that it always does, but I'm saying that it can, like, in very extreme, especially early on,
yes.
You know.
Yes.
Like, in the first, she's 2 months, it's like, yeah, like, if you're in a life or death situation, which she was multiple times, and she killed, like... You're risking like just that trauma of killing the
Michelle. She fought with Donnie. She killed walkers. She killed other people. She killed Molly over and over again.
Yeah, sure.
She shouldn't be on. I mean, she shouldn't be on these missions.
Yeah, you remember in that fight too, though. She kind of got hit in the stomach.
The knife came at her.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
You know, like,
probably you didn't hear me. I mentioned that before I got cut off.
But just ask Lori. Pregnancy can be life or death situation.
It can be. But do you think this is it for Carol? Does Carol not go out on any more missions? Is Carol going to be set cooking, making cookies and just being Mom Carol again? Is Carol done being Rambo?
No. Too dynamic of a character.
I don't think so.
Because I think you do.
I think she's going to kind of end up being like Morgan now, where, you know, let's reason with them instead of just kill.
But I'm saying that she won't be the same Carol.
She just needs one of her friends to be killed, to be spurned into action.
I think you reach a point. I think that's what they were telling us in this episode. You reach a point where you just say, I can't kill anymore. I think she can kill, like you said, you're saying, a friend. She saw Maggie was in trouble. She didn't hesitate. She blew Michelle's head
off.
I just blew her head off. But she could have got herself killed several times in this episode because she didn't, You know, she kept hanging around.
We got two ruthless back-to-back, like, gun to the head, boom. You know, but yeah. I liked Rick's moment at the end. It was like, I don't have time for this. Like, you're Negan, whatever. Like, although I would have liked, like, did Rick understand that he was really not Negan? Like, is he going to be informed? You know, like, hey, by the way, these other people are calling themselves Negan.
They just seem more concerned where you got the bike.
Yeah, I know, the whole time. I was like, where'd you get... Oh, I took out a loan, you know, from my bank, but, you know, I bought it down at the guy on the corner. It's,
but since I found him on Craigslist. The world ended, I didn't have to pay it. I didn't have to make payments on it. But go around the table. Russ, what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I've liked all of them so far.
We'll save Mike for last. Matt, did you like this episode?
I did, yeah. I think they're on a roll here as far as, like, the number of pretty good episodes we've had right in a row. Like, I think what I really enjoyed was the fact that even though it was a detour episode, we'll call it that much, where you have to section these actors off, you know, and have another storyline. I thought the storyline was compelling enough, and I'm glad they brought in an actress that could carry the scene. And I think her name was Witt. Was it something Witt? I can't remember.
Catherine Witt.
Alicia Witt.
Alicia Witt.
Alicia Witt, yeah. I'm glad that they brought somebody in.
She's a strong actress.
Of her caliber to carry that episode. And that it wasn't a man abusing, but it came up. And I don't know, I liked all of the beats that they had. And it wasn't, I didn't feel like it was too heavy on the female side, but just enough. So.
Well, I like how it showed, and I'll say I actually loved the episode. I thought it was great because it didn't, like I said, my biggest fear was it was going to drag out, but it didn't. I like the fact, like Jessica said, it showed women as strong characters, and I thought that was great, and they did a good job of showing the men as weak. Donnie was the weakest character in this episode. He was he was a baby. He was, you know, I
probably got
shot in the arm, but they basically just treated him. He was just there.
And then the men never rescue the women, right? No, even the quote unquote survivor bad guys that are showing up at the end, like, they're actually all slaughtered by two women.
Two women who both are done, I think, tired of killing. They're both tired of
TCB man, taking care of business.
Right. So I thought this was a fantastic episode. And I just like how it played out and the direction we're going. I do think Carol is done being Rambo Carol. I think she's done. She at this point she can't go on missions anymore because she's not. She'd be like Paula was saying. How did you survive? Because the Carol we were seeing, how did she survive? The only reason she survived because Daryl saved her at the beginning. It was because she was weak. I mean, her husband Ed was an absolute ass, and he, you know, had beaten her down so much that she was just, you know, afraid of her own shadow. She became this different Carol, the Carol we, you know, affectionately calls Rambo, and I think now she doesn't want to kill anymore. She doesn't want, and if you don't have that edge, if you don't have that, you can't go on this thing. And it'd just be funny if these people could just learn to live together.
Those crazy people.
But it's not going to happen because everybody wants what's theirs. But when Paula was talking about her experience and she was talking the story about the coffee beans and all that different stuff, you know, she said, "Well, I had a family. I had a husband. I had four daughters, four girls. It was,
well,
these people did have a life." And now, Mike,
since you guys didn't want to talk dead, she said there was a line right before she left Carol. So, like, she walked out of the room, and as she's walking out, she says, "Carol, you know, you're somebody I would have sent like a cat emailed to or something like that."
Oh yeah.
But they cut it out because they didn't want to make her appear like a likable character.
Well, at one point they did seem like they were gonna they had a connection.
Right.
But Paula was like, "I can't. I have to survive. My goal is to survive and survive and survive." But Carol was like saying, "You're going to die." And now we're seeing the scene where she's getting her face ripped off, and Carol's just looking.
It's beautiful.
That's just a mess. But
it's
Mike,
just a bunch of gum.
Did you like this episode?
It was a great episode. Actually, I was disappointed they killed those characters off. I thought they had, like, great lines. I thought they were badass, or, in the words of Russ, they were badass chicks.
Awesome.
I was disappointed to see him kill off these characters just like one episode in. Like I would have liked to see him be around for like a couple episodes.
You know, I was kind of hoping that maybe Paula would say, okay, you know, you guys are tough. You know, maybe we could work together. Can I be part of your group? But I guess in the end they had to kill her because that's just what had to happen. But I agree. I like the actress, and it would be nice to see her hang around for a while. But I agree. Great episode. And so we're all on board this week. Oh, we all liked it.
Yeah.
We don't have to. We don't have to always like it.
No.
No, but they've been on a roll lately. They've all been pretty good.
No, I agree. We don't have to like it.
I mean, I can see where some people might have felt that this was slow. I mean, I obviously take time out of my week to sit down and just kind of like soak it in. I get to watch the commercial-free version, so it just flows usually for me.
Right.
I think sometimes the commercials, I could see where it would really drag out like some of these scenes a little bit more, but I still liked it. Since I did it last week, I'm going to try to do it this week. I'm going to come up with a Matt Pott theory of the week.
Okay.
since Jack's all out of Jack crackpot theories of the week, I'm coming up with a Matt Pott theory. You convinced me, Jack. I think Carol turns a new leaf. She goes back to Alexandria, right? And she's like, I'm going to run this jail with you. And they put Rick in the jail. And that's when this Negan comes up and like Rick's in the jail. Like you're number one, right? I don't know. That's my
Jack's theory would have been like Carol worked for Dharma.
But how are you going to convince people? Because right now they're pro Rick.
Right.
Morgan and Carol. Okay.
I don't know how they get from A to B. I'm just throwing out
the Matt Pott theory. You have to have a reason how that's going to come into effect.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
I think I called Glenn Eugene. It's Glenn. I don't know where I got Eugene at, but Glenn's not going to go on that side, right? Maggie won't.
Negan is coming. They don't have time to worry about issues between Carol and...
Here's my Matt crackpot theory. What is it called?
That's just me, Matt Pot theory. I was just Matt Pot theory. Matt as opposed to crack.
We don't know where his Matt came from, but Matt Pot.
Matt Pot theory. I think that the Jesus group is going to be their next people coming after him.
Negan is coming.
Negan might be coming, so but they need to worry
the
about
the Hilltop Jesus. People.
The Hilltop people, but, the ones they have to work.
But they were weak anyway. They can't.
Were they?
I don't know. I think your Matt Pot theory is weak.
Well,
I've got the better coffee beans.
I don't see. I guess you had me when you said she's going to work with Morgan.
Work with Dharma.
Yeah, Carol and Morgan, and they're going to build that jail together.
I
just
get that.
Like,
but
just like they built that church.
Is Carl going to let, you know, because Carl will keep one eye on everybody. So there's no way.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it just kind of, that plot line just goes the wayside of like the army.
Hey, you could be right. Don't back down. Don't back
okay.
down from a Matt Pott theory.
I'm going off of what Russ said last week. I liked Russ's idea about the jail cell.
Unfortunately, I think Russ is 100% right. Which
the
chicks, crazy.
Chicks look hotter.
Got me convinced.
After Sunday night.
A cheeseburger in every pocket and a chick on every hand.
Mike, do you have a Mike Pott theory?
Negan is coming and one of our characters is going to die. Who will it be?
Which character?
Let's flip Maggie and Glenn.
Where did I get Eugene?
Maggie and
Glenn. Was there Eugene on the show?
He's back with the rest of the people. So no, we won't get back to Eugene's story.
That's Eugene. I'm not sure where I...
Eugene, he's the scientist.
Yeah, I got it. And do you have a... Russ, do you have a chicken pot pie theory?
Emphasis on chicken.
You know, I don't trust the Jesus group. So I think there's more to them than
so.
Just,
you're with me on that one.
Yeah, I think there's more to it. Like I think maybe they set Rick and them up to get rid of this group here for something else. Like I think, and you know, to be honest with you, my first thought was that the I can't think of his name, but the guy who got shot.
Donnie? In this episode?
No, the guy who got shot, who made the deal with Maggie.
No, he got stabbed.
Oh.
Or stabbed, yeah, not shot, stabbed.
The boss.
Yeah, the boss. Like, for some reason, I keep thinking that maybe he's this whole Negan character.
Ah. Now, that would be cool if he turned out to be Negan. But right. Mike is shaking his head. He doesn't like your chicken pot pie theory.
No, they hired a pretty big actor to play Negan. So...
Yeah,
okay, just ruin it for everybody, but, you know...
There you go.
Like, my thinking was...
Spoiler alert for people. Unfortunately, we're live.
Yeah, great.
Sorry, three viewers.
Right, I do like that Russ had this idea on his own that would be Negan. I mean, you know, he doesn't know that they hired, so
but
it kind of does spark the imagination.
Rick and the crew didn't see the whole compound. They don't know these. It could have been a scam that they had these. Also, we have his stakes. We're weak. We can't beat these guys. We can't.
Right,
we can't do that.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
how do we know they don't have weapons. How do we know they don't have this? We don't have that.
Like, I think maybe it was a setup to, you know, I think they realized that Rick's group is pretty strong and that they were maybe setting them up to thin them out a little bit or something. Like, I'm not exactly sure, but I don't quite trust them.
I'm agreeing with Russ here.
I think you saw how easily they got stabbed and killed by how weak they were. That was
right, I think
how
right,
weak they were.
But you know what?
That I think we've now split into team Matt, you know, and Mike and
see,
Russ. And
to me, that whole thing looked like a setup. If that guy really wanted to kill him, he knows where to stab him. Like, maybe he was, maybe that was part of the deal. Is like, hey, you're going to stab me. You're going to take one for the team here. And, you know, we're going to get these guys fooled. He didn't have. He could have stabbed him anywhere. Why did he stab him there? I mean, they should know to stab somebody in the head if they want to kill him.
Well, ask Maggie.
Well, I think they might be working for the governor.
Yeah.
All right, we need to wrap this up because we got to do sports talk, and we're 3 minutes late. But at this time, I'd like to thank a couple three special patrons. We got Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner Glatfelter, and Brad from Chicago.
Oh, my gosh. We got a third.
So thanks for helping us out all you can. That's it. That's all I got. Matt?
You want to thank the other podcasts you do?
What are the podcasts?
You already talked about those podcasts.
I talked about that earlier, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Again, a whole enchilada. You get it all and see us all and do that stuff and all that crap. So, Matt?
Great show, kid. One in a million.
See you next week.
You did it.
Hasta luego.
Adios,
fellas. Hasta luego. And goodbye.
Bye.